Hey there, this is Seth Wars from Channel 9 coming to you from NDC London 2016. I've got a special guest, Kasia. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, hello. Thank you. Very well. Thank you.
So tell us what you do.
So I'm a business analyst product owner, and basically I work on really cool projects connected with big data. Really fashionable buzzword recently.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, really? Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah.
And you also give talks here at NDC London too.
Yes, indeed.
Why don't you tell us about your talk?
So my talk title was called How to Defeat Feature Gluttony. Mm-hmm. And it was basically about how to defeat kind of wish list that customers usually reveal in front of us, IT people, mm-hmm. developers, and everyone who are involved in product development and want everything for like yesterday, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I was talking about few things that we unfortunately do in software development and, sorry to say, encourage such behaviors,
yeah.
and try to figure out the way we can reduce it in a way that our requirements are not freeze, because if we have like, you know, the weird kinds of freezes, it's everything easy. But reality is environment and everything changes, so mm-hmm. we need to adapt. So I presented a few techniques that help us in that.
So here's the challenge, right? We're developers, and we get the guy that comes in invariably and says, wouldn't it be great if, you know, and they're trying to push. How do we manage that kind of change? Because mm-hmm. we want to be agile.
Yeah.
But we don't want to have like waterfall, old school, frozen.
Exactly.
How do we manage sort of that balance between this is something we should do versus this is something we want to do?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things here. Okay. So first of all, roadmap itself. Mm-hmm. It's really good to have the vision, but the first thing that actually stops us from doing things instantly is like commitments. Mm-hmm. So if our roadmap is detailedly planned for 5 years ahead, mm-hmm. it means that something wrong is going there.
So if you have 5 years, it's bad.
It's good to have like broad idea what we would like to achieve. However, if we have commitments, so we are saying to our customers or our business partners, yeah, for certain integration with, let's say, Apple Payment will be delivered 2018, mm-hmm. whatever date it is. Then it means that, okay, some people will rely on us, and if we have something new to squeeze, so let's say you as a business person say, okay, this is really cool innovation technology, we would like to bring it in. Mm-hmm. We actually can't because we have commitment for other stuff.
I see.
So what I really recommend is to having the vision, but instead of keeping it like in a linear way, put it, for instance, in the product tree. So this is in a shape of a tree, not in the line.
I see.
So we are just bringing the stuff in the current time box whenever it's like the need or whenever you see, oh, this is innovation. So instead of doing the stuff that we previously had in the line, we can bring something, this cool idea. If we decided it's really, really cool and we really, really need it, mm-hmm. yay, we can do it. So this is a change of the approach. So still our customers feel safe because they have certainty that we've written down the requirements because they're on the tree.
Sure.
They're in the roadmap, but still we have the flexibility and we don't have requirements written in stone as well. So I think this is one.
I love the idea, sorry to interrupt mm-hmm. you, of instead of having a line of this is going to get done here, this is going to get done here, yeah. instead you, this is where we are, these are all the things that we would like to get
yeah.
done.
Exactly.
Because then you can have the customer choose.
Yeah. Exactly, and again, we should experiment more because there is also another really lovely buzzword, lean startup mm-hmm. and basically validating. Everyone talks about it. Not necessarily everyone follows it. This is really quickly saying for people who don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just simplifying. It's like validating the hypothesis we have around the software. So again, if we validate our ideas and see that something doesn't work, if we don't have steady and really static timeline, mm-hmm. then we can figure it out how to improve the stuff we delivered and make it nice and almost perfect. And yeah, I think this will help us to deliver better product for our customers.
So I feel like we talk about like lean startup and yeah. agile methodologies yeah. and we're talking about tree, but we talk sort of in abstract terms.
Yeah.
Do you have an example of how this might go down?
So for instance, in my company, one of the companies I worked for actually, we had like a lot of customers and we in some point end up with doing the features that were pretty similar, because simply people were requesting the new features. The backlog was really huge. So what we did, it was get rid of the old backlog, start to putting the post-its just on the wall, mm-hmm. just to have the better visibility, and group the features into one place. Mm-hmm. And instead of delivering three different features that basically did the same, we start to deliver like one but customizable. And first of all, our working queue just suddenly decreased, because right. in the end it meant that there's like less work. And also customers were quite happy, because in the end we just figured out that even if we have detailed requirement how it should work, in reality they work in a different way.
I see.
So when you have customized things, basically it's easier for customers later on to do their own thing based on our software.
I see. Yep. So you're saying that, and this is an interesting thing, because we might have a backlog that has N items, but it might be that a lot of those items are really the same thing, and we keep working on the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Yeah. And so your perspective was put it on the wall, then you'll know.
It also just meant that we start collaborating and basically talking about the requirements and why we are doing stuff. If we just record tickets, especially if we have multiple customers, sometimes we end up not really thinking and considering what we are doing. And again, it's also connected with the size of the application that we are doing. In the smaller apps, I think that there is no such problem, because people naturally talk to each other. If we have huge corporation with multiple locations like Asia, Europe, US, then stuff just become more complex just by that we are not co-located.
And there's no shared wall to put sticky notes on either.
That's true, but you can do the wall thing and replicate it in each location, and basically then the maintenance of the wall is like difficult, because you need to politely ask someone in the location just to make certain that cards are aligned.
That's right. So your talk is basically how to say no. I love all of the ideas, but now when someone comes and says, hey, we want to do this, how do you gauge whether this is something we shouldn't do versus something we should do?
Okay, so again, during the talk I recommended one of the stuff that I actually used myself. We can name it the kind of the validation upfront we are doing the features. So if the person says, okay, I would like to do it, and there's like set of stuff that we already prioritize in some way, it's really good to take the context of the application and the business process that application supports. So best way, choose like three core business processes that we are doing, and choose one thing that we care about. Mm-hmm. So let's say that we are doing the booking engine for airline tickets, and we have new feature that is like, let's say, selection of the color of the seat, and it means integration with some weird database somewhere there. And we care about the performance, because obviously we are in the modern world.
Sure,
people
sure.
press the button, can't wait like 1 second. That's obviously right. Because 1 second is, oh my god,
it's a lot.
Yeah, so if we have the performance that we care about, and what we would like to support is like booking the tickets and reserving the correct price, mm-hmm. and let's say time to the response for the query, and we want to add the seat select, the color of the seat, then we need to like think, okay, does it actually positively influence of any of the core features? And then surprisingly, the answer is no, because performance probably will go down, because it means join with some database.
Yeah.
It means that response time, so one of the things that we are caring about, maybe go down as well. Mm-hmm. We have no clue how it influenced the price of the seat, because maybe we need to query something additional stuff, and then we won't be able to reserve or query the correct price for this particular seat.
Sure.
So maybe in the end, when we check the core business process, our brilliant innovative idea actually doesn't suit.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be somewhere different, or maybe it's like new product for like cool kids that want to sit in the red seat and they don't mind the price of the tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the stuff that we are validating. And again, if you have like more than one feature, also I recommend that kind of nice two axes, and one there are like obviously ROI, so money,
mm-hmm.
and the other is like the one thing that we care about. I call it like love versus ROI,
mm-hmm.
and then you put the features around, and this stuff that is like in the left-hand side, no, right-hand side, top corner, is basically your MVP. Obviously, you need to have applied the common sense if something is below that, but still it's important because, for instance, it's like security or let's say, okay, implement login. Well, maybe it doesn't bring a lot of money, but on the other hand, if we don't secure our customers' data and they will leak, probably this could be really disastrous for us. So common sense is as well really important.
So let me see if I understand. So on the one column, you have how much money it's going to make you. And then what was the other column?
Other column, basically, depending on your context. So you're choosing one. So let's say in my example with the engine will be like performance. Mm-hmm. If you are doing like web app for thousands of customers, and maybe you care basically about usability.
I see.
So depending on your context, you are checking what you need and then trying to assess the requirements against the two. And then you see, okay, what is the combination of those dimensions and how it basically works the best. You can have more dimensions. Yeah. However, then it starts to be complex. Yeah. So I recommend the two. Usually people care about money, but maybe if you decide to get rid of the money constraint because you are so generous and well.
Or you're a startup in San Francisco.
Or maybe, yes. Oh, come on, startups in the end care about money as well.
They do, it's true. But you're saying pick a couple of things that are important to your core business. And obviously one of them might be making money, but another one might be usability, another one might be performance, another one might be, I don't know, that it looks nice.
Maybe you can like, again, if you have like ERP kind of software, maybe basically supporting your users in doing certain stuff. So let's say you have like a retail application and you have sales associates, and basically your goal is make their life easier, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the performance and usability in one in that case. Again, everything depends on the stuff that you are building.
Sure.
I'm a consultant, so my favorite answer for everything is it depends.
That is the universal consultant answer. And so I like the idea of actually when a feature comes in, a request, to actually instead of just say, oh, that sounds really cool, and analyze against your core business values, and if it falls in the important category, do it maybe.
Exactly.
But how do you say no?
Basically, our customers, if they see that, I think that the biggest problem is like not talking and not understanding each other. So if they start to see, okay, this basically breaks our business process, it's not in our core business, they start to understand, oh, maybe actually we don't need it because there's high risk that we break stuff that bring us money. Again, also here we need to be really cautious that we don't want to destroy innovation that can be like, started from both sides. So as well IT, as well business have like brilliant ideas. So it's really cool to validate it together because then we can came up during the conversation with something that it's really brilliant.
I like the idea of having these sort of quadrants or these dimensions up front.
Yeah.
Because if you say this is what we care about and then a feature comes in and the customer can see, it falls in not the good area, then maybe there's buy-in there too.
Exactly, and also we just reduce the number of stuff that we have like work in progress. Mm-hmm. So instead of having upfront detailed requirements for 5 years ahead, we end up with stuff that are like, current time box, next time box, depending how you work. Again, it depends. Some people use sprints that are 2 weeks. Some people don't use sprints and use weekly basis. So everything depends, but just small amount of requirements is easier also to customer to understand that if they ask for something new, they will be like able to know, current work will end within, let's say, month. Mm-hmm. I'm asking for this new brilliant stuff that is really innovative, and together we agree that it's innovative, so it could be delivered next. So it brings predictability.
Sure. That's awesome. So let's change gears here over to working with big data.
Okay.
Well, so tell me a little bit about, if say I want to become a data scientist, how does one do that?
So data scientist, I think that definitions vary. I personally finished IT and econometrics. Uh-huh. Econometrics is a kind of statistics in economy. Mm-hmm. So what I'm basically doing and what I was doing is models that tries to predict the future, mm-hmm. Connected with a lot of finance stuff and finance data. So this is pretty cool. So what you basically need is a bit of statistical knowledge. I really encourage people to play with R. Mm-hmm. Do you know Basia Fusińska?
Of course.
So, yes. And probably she already gave you an interview.
Yeah.
So guys, I really encourage to watch Basia Fusińska
She's
talks
fantastic.
and the interview, of course.
Yeah.
So R is like one of the stuff that you can basically start on. Python, mm-hmm. Again, there's plenty of courses online available so you can learn. If you are more advanced, or maybe if you are, for instance, JavaScript developer, there's a really cool library that enables you to make really cool visualization on top of your data, which is called D3.
Fantastic.
So yeah, so there's plenty of stuff you can do. If you are like in corporate already, probably you have some tools in place as well. You can start playing on and learning.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Again, we're here at NDC London 2016. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.